From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm David Watts Barton. The push for a new sports and entertainment complex in Sacramento has gone for the better part of a decade, but last Tuesday, the city council finally voted to move forward in a substantial way. Still, major hurdles, that is, deals, design elements, and the ongoing needs of a city mired in recession, remain to be addressed. Joining us on the phone is Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson, who led the effort to get an arena done, is now relaxing on a beach somewhere, right, Mayor?
Yeah, the beach called City Hall. City Hall.
The point being on that, of course, that there's still a lot to do, but congratulations on getting this far.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm just really, really proud of Sacramento. I felt our community really stepped up. We went to Orlando, as you know, a couple weeks ago, and we were playing to win. We wanted to, you know, create an environment where we bring jobs and economic development. We wanted to keep our team here, and this community just stepped up in such a big way over the last year. Again, just really proud of everyone in Sacramento.
Okay, given that, and there is a lot of positive energy around this. On the other hand, 7 years ago, the public voted 80% to 20% against publicly funding an arena, but now about 2/3 of the money is still going to be coming from the public, which is up quite a bit from where we were even about 6 months ago. How do you reassure people who aren't, you know, in the pro column on this that this is a good idea?
You know, I think our commitment was we wanted to do, number one, we wanted to protect the taxpayers. So there's no new taxes. Whatever we brought forward, we were going to protect the general fund. We did that, and we were going to create an open and transparent process. And I think the public truly, truly appreciated that. And we also created a public-private partnership where you have significant contributions by the Kings, you have significant contributions by AEG, you have David Taylor significantly contributing. All those create a winning formula as it relates to a public-private partnership. Jobs was something that we said over and over again. I mean, we have a double-digit unemployment rate in Sacramento, and we've always said that this basketball team and venue is bigger than basketball. It's about jobs. It's about the economy. The Kings have about 700 to 1,000 jobs, depending on part-time or full-time. We'll be able to keep those jobs. The new entertainment sports complex will create 4,000 new jobs by 2015. There's no place in the country where a mayor would say, no, 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 we don't want to do something that creates 4,000 jobs in the next 3 years. No. And then lastly, in terms of economic impact over 30 years, you're talking about $7 billion revitalizing the rail yards, downtown area, and the region.
Speaking of those jobs are the numbers, I think, 4,100. I think that includes the jobs that would remain after the construction, though. I mean, most of those jobs are going to be around for the next few years, and then they would go away, right?
That's true. But then my second point is when I said a $7 billion economic impact over 30 years, that means there's going to be a lot of economic development spinoff that will continue to create revenue. We're going to create about $154 million of new revenue for our region. All that trickles down into more jobs and businesses doing well. And that's part of why we think it's been a win-win in our community and why so many people have supported it and been excited.
Well, and that's a big number. But there are a lot of numbers have been floating around, and I think a lot of people's heads have been spinning, probably yours more than anybody's, on trying to nail this down. Let's talk about the partners, AEG and the Kings. The Kings currently have a quite a large debt to the city, and that's going to be refinanced in this deal. But the Maloofs have been through an awful lot of financial hardship themselves over the last few years. Are they still a good, creditworthy partner in this, do you think?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of, David, what you're doing is asking the tough questions. We need to be able to address these tough questions. If we did not do that, we would not be doing our part for the public, and that's what I meant by, you know, protecting the taxpayers and being open and transparent. So in terms of the Maloofs, number one, they're making a significant financial contribution of over $73 million. That's a public-private partnership. Number two, we agreed as a city to refinance their loan if they want to do it, because when you move from the current building to a new building downtown, they have to pay off that loan.
Right.
We as a city would never do that unless they had proper collateral. So we believe that they will have the proper collateral, or the NBA or somebody else would have to loan them the money so that the way the loan could take place. Number three.
But before you go on, what is their collateral?
Well, the current, let me tell you what the collateral is right now in the $70 million.
Right.
The collateral currently is the building, meaning the Power Balance Pavilion.
Right.
It's the land that they own, and there's a lien of $25 million against the team. So all of those make up the collateral. So it would be something very similar, or the NBA or somebody else would have to figure out collateral as well.
Because that property, particularly without the arena in the middle of it, is and in the situation that we're in now, it's not nearly as good a collateral as it once was.
Yeah, but that'll still, again, we got to figure out what the amount is. Your question is, what will be the collateral? That is some of the ideas that would be for the collateral. The NBA could also play a role of securing or helping support whomever, whether it be a bank or the city, to make sure that, you know, the dollars are good. Lastly, you know, when they have a new building, they're just going to be a tenant in the building. So there's future revenue streams that also could be part of collateral as well. So there's dollars that will be coming in annually that if there's not proper collateral, that needs to be looked at as an option. But these are all the things that we're going to answer and address to guarantee that the city has the proper, you know, security that we would need to move forward. And the last thing I want to say about the Kings, and they don't get enough credit for this, they've never missed a loan payment. So despite people saying, you know, they got financial issues or challenges, from a city standpoint, they have made good on every single obligation that they've had to date, and we don't expect anything different to occur.
And I understand that having the NBA involved really is a form of collateral, because the NBA does not let teams just disappear, right?
Yeah, and that was my point, that if there's not enough collateral that's secured by assets they currently own, then the NBA would have to play a role. But again, that's a little bit premature. But what I can say is I will guarantee the city will have the proper collateral that it needs.
Okay. I'm speaking with Mayor Kevin Johnson about the arena and where we go from here and some of the details. One of the details, the big issue, which wasn't even really out there 6 months ago, is this whole parking thing, which suddenly was sort of the magic bullet that came along and looks as though it can turn a city asset into cash flow. But some of the things on the parking, they're saying that on game nights, the parking revenue is going to go to the Kings, and then there's going to be a VIP parking garage, and that revenue is going to go to the Kings as well. If the city is going to, if that's city property, why is that money going to the Kings instead of going to the city to help pay off some of the debt on this?
Yeah, I think you're looking at it in the wrong way. So let me see if I can make it a little bit clearer for folks. If you go back 6 months ago, when people were talking about a third, which I think you referenced earlier,
right.
Parking was not a part of the equation. So since then, when parking became part of the equation, that was our game changer, that we have an underutilized asset that we can put in play, lease it long term, make sure that the city gets the protection that it needs. We protect jobs. We protect parking rates to make sure that they don't go, you know, too high or exorbitant or excessive. And we make sure that our general fund is made whole. That's protecting our parking asset. That asset becomes something that we can leverage and invest in to create another asset, which is a new entertainment sports complex downtown. So that's number one. Secondly, when you do a deal that you bring in a public-private partnership where you have the Kings, you have AEG, you have David Taylor, you have the city, there's revenue that are basketball-related. Typically, deals like that are basketball-related, the team gets the revenues that are associated with game day
right.
events. So that's what that is.
As they do at ARCO now.
Anywhere around the country. That's just a normal deal. What we're able to do, which is great, is we're able to share on non-basketball nights and the upside with AEG. So if more profit is made as time goes on, we get to share in a percentage, which is very good in terms of revenue sharing for the city. You mentioned David Taylor in a private or a VIP kind of parking garage. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be privately built by David Taylor on city property potentially, and the city would share in the revenues with David Taylor along those lines.
Mm-hmm. With everything that this city has been through in the last few years, a lot of people are really looking more at the downside than the upside. I'm sure you've heard that before. What is, in your mind, what is the downside, or what would be sort of the nightmare scenario of this thing not working out?
You know what, being very honest, David, I mean, I don't mind answering the question. I have actually heard the opposite, to be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a year ago, everyone thought we were going to lose our team, and we didn't, and we kept our team. And then we had to figure out a financing plan to, you know, keep the team in Sacramento long term and have Sacramento be the final resting place. And to be able to do that in a down economy and protect taxpayers and create jobs, I think everybody I've talked to is elated. The fact that we've kept our team, we've done it in a responsible manner. The public has been involved each step along the way. And we're making sure that we have all the safeguards in place to mitigate or ensure that there's no major downside. When you talk about the intermodal, we're going to make sure that the new venue fits within the intermodal. We protect the historic buildings that are part of the rail yard and have been there for many, many years. You're talking about having an intermodal or a transportation hub that arguably is going to be one of the busiest in the country. That's good for everybody. You're talking about bringing 3 more million people downtown, and those people spend dollars. That's a way you revitalize the downtown community. So, yes, could there be, you know, hiccups and bumps along the way? Absolutely. But I think we're doing a very good job of being responsible and being as certain as we can to make sure we're thinking and doing our due diligence to create a win for this community and region.
And you mentioned the intermodal facility. That is a big part of this. A lot of the money that has already been spent to move the tracks, to clean up the brownfields there and get everything into shape was financed by the federal government. And Congresswoman Doris Massui issued a statement last week saying, you know, sort of reiterating that we want to see where the intermodal transportation hub fits in here. And some people were saying that the vision that you released last week, the arena sort of dwarfs the rail station and the old shops. It doesn't look like something like maybe a AT&T Park might. Or is that something that's being considered? Where that's going to fit and how it will work and how it's going to look?
Yes, yes, and yes. You know, I think Congresswoman Massui reiterated a statement that she would love to see an arena be successful there and to make sure that we do the intermodal properly. That's what she was saying, is reiterating that. Mm-hmm. And all the designers that are looking now at the next level of the feasibility of putting, you know, a 600,000 square foot, that'll be the footprint. How does it interact? How does it get integrated with the transportation hub? All those things are what everybody's going to be looking at, and we're going to do everything we can to create a vibrant and robust environment and interaction between the two. I think there's tremendous upside. I mean, I think what you're kind of doing is posing the questions, well, what happens if you don't make the shot? Well, if you make it one out of two times and you're playing baseball, you'd be the highest percentage, you know, base batting average in the history of baseball. So it all depends. I feel like we are taking all the proper steps in Sacramento to create an environment that becomes a win-win for everybody. And I think that up until this point, we've exceeded everyone's expectations. And, you know, a year ago, people wouldn't even believe that we'd be even in the game.
It's true. You've come a long way. I'm speaking with Mayor Kevin Johnson about the arena and what's going to happen going forward. One area of Sacramento that may not be quite so thrilled about this is Natomas, which is losing its biggest asset. A lot of the ancillary businesses that came up out there to serve people going to the arena are wondering how they're going to stay alive. And they're also under a building moratorium because of the levy issues. What do you say to the people of Natomas going forward in this whole process?
You know, I made a personal commitment to the folks in Natomas that this building going downtown, we will make sure and I will make sure that we come up with a reuse plan to make sure that the Natomas site and the 100 acres out there that both the city and the Maloof zone and where the current Power Balance Pavilion is, mm-hmm. there's got to be a reuse plan. And they have a tremendous champion in Angelique Ashby. I've met with the Natomas Chamber of Commerce and many businesses out there, and we're committed to creating an environment that there'll be a good reuse, something that's smart and benefits those existing businesses out there. One of the challenges, though, and I think everybody's acknowledged this, is that a lot of people who come from outside the city of Sacramento, they drive in to a basketball game, and then they get in their car and they drive back home. Right. There was not enough dollars being spent. I think downtown will be able to capture the dollars that will circulate 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the downtown area, mm-hmm. because people will park downtown. They're going to walk by businesses. There's a pedestrian dynamic that will be in play. That's not quite the case in Natomas, and that was a little bit unfortunate for those businesses.
And that's an awful lot of the discussion going all the way through this has been that it's going to be a trigger in downtown. It's going to revitalize the whole downtown area and have a ripple effect. Were you disappointed that other governments in the area were so unwilling to contribute much of anything, since so many of their own downtown citizens are going to be coming downtown to downtown Sacramento. But it seems like most of the governments, aside from the county government with the parking garages, and after all, Sacramento's in the county, it seems like most other cities have just kind of said, you're on your own on this one.
Well, let me see if I can frame it slightly different. So number one, the county is a different jurisdiction. It has its different governance than the city. So that is an additional regional commitment that we didn't currently have. And I'm very thankful to the supervisors for the role that they've played in the county executive. Number two, Rancho Cordova stepped up and said, look, is there a way we can be helpful? So that's a county and another, you know, adjacent city that wants to be a part of the equation. That is good for us. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, when we talk about the garages. Remember, two-thirds of the people who go to the games are going to be parking in those garages. So indirectly, they are going to contribute. They're contributing to those garages by parking there in ways that they would normally not park. That's what's allowing this parking asset to be so in demand from so many people. I mean, we had 11 people bid on our parking because of all those people who are going to come outside the city of Sacramento park downtown. Mm-hmm. That's what we meant by user fee, that there's people that are using and taking advantage of the facility that are also contributing. And that's another way that people beyond Sacramento will be playing a role.
You're running for election, re-election this year, and you've got a lot of initiatives on your ballot. I mean, it's all been about the arena lately, but you do things in the arts and schools, homelessness, green businesses. Looking forward, though, this is going to be an ongoing thing for the next 3 years of negotiating and going back to the council on different things and working with AEG. Are you ready for 3 or 4 more years of this?
You know, absolutely. I am. I'm ecstatic with where we are. There's a lot of work ahead. We have a lot of work to do in the rest of 2012. We're working on a pre-development agreement right now. The architects and the builders and the project manager will work on designing the building. We'd love to be in a position come April, May, or June that we'll be breaking ground, which is, you know, extremely significant, again, for where we are today versus where we could have been. Mm-hmm. And then we hope to open up and play in the 2015-2016 season in a brand new building. I think the Maloofs are excited. I think our community is excited. The other thing I would just say is it's not just basketball. I mean, two-thirds of the events or three-quarters of the events that will occur in the new building aren't going to be sports-related. There'll be different things to bring families and people downtown, which is something that we're all looking forward to.
Which is something that people have asked me a lot about, because the sound at ARCO has always been notoriously bad. And since this is something that is going to be not just for basketball, is there going to be an effort to design the place so it sounds halfway decent for concerts?
Yeah, our goal is to have it be a state-of-the-art facility so that the acoustics and the sound is incredible. We want it to be a showcase for green. Our goal is to make it a green building. We want to be a leader. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Everything we do in Sacramento, we don't want to just half do it. We want to do things at a really high level, a high standard of excellence, and be a leader, that it becomes a best practice for people to look at and say, man, they're doing things really top-notch and high quality in Sacramento, and that's kind of the commitment that I think we all have these days.
All right. Well, Mayor Johnson, thanks so much for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, a local author imagines an even worse Hitler. We'll be right back.